At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
I'm John Batser. Jeff Waro is here. His book is The Vietnam War, a Military History. It's 1970s, spring, summer of 1970. And Jeff has outlined the Ho Chi Minh Trail that winds through Cambodia and Laos and then has exit points into Vietnam. The ambition for the generals since the beginning was to cut the Ho Chi Minh Trail. They tried to do it with air power. It wasn't successful. The Vietnamese, the Viet Cong and the NVA needed far fewer supplies daily and monthly than the U.S. and Arvin forces. And they could handle the bombing, and they did very well. Until 1970, the idea was to incur Cambodia, cut the trail, and isolate the so-called commanders of the Ho Chi Minh Trail and of the Vietnamese. What's important here also is this rocked the protests in the United States back home. Students, long hairs, it plunged the U.S. into a division that is still extant in my measure, certainly my generation, the boomers, because Mr. Nixon and Henry Kissinger had promised an end to the war. This looks like an entirely new war. That's my observation, Jeff. You have very carefully compiled the facts here, but I'm pointing to the division that were created from the Cambodia exercise, the division that was created not just in the Congress, but all across America, setting the two sides angry at each other, and they were powerless to change the future. Nixon and Kissinger were the future.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when you think about Cambodia, if revisionists will often argue, if we'd only gone into Cambodia or Laos sooner, we could have terminated this war. And that's because, you know, the Ho Chi Minh Trail comes down from North Vietnam through Laos into Cambodia. And as you say, branches into South Vietnam from there. But there's also a trail coming up from the port of Sihanoukville, which is on, you know, in the Gulf of Thailand in Cambodia. And you come up, Chinese ships could land there, unload supplies. These would be driven up roads in Cambodia to the border of South Vietnam, provided to the VC and the NVA that were operating in the Mekong Delta or the Three Corps in southern South Vietnam. So there was this feeling, there had always been a feeling, we need to go in there. But the problem was, and this is exactly what happened in 1970, we go in, And the North Vietnamese just bug out. They kind of move across. They move westward, you know, away from the frontier, deeper into Cambodia, and they allow the U.S. to come in. And it makes these enormous discoveries of weapons and other and munitions and all the and the food supplies and the medicine and field hospitals and motor parks and just basically barrack areas and bunkers and everything. They find all this stuff, burn it, blow it up. But just as always happens, the NVA will absorb that blow. And then after the Americans leave, because there are very strict rules of engagement on Cambodia, there's not enough U.S. force in South Vietnam to fight a campaign in Cambodia and fight in South Vietnam. So they're told, just go in 19 miles, don't stay longer than a couple of weeks, come back out. And so they just wait and they rebuild everything. And this is, again, the whole story of the war. They have this strategic patience, the enemy, that the United States does not have. The United States needs a quick, decisive victory. They need to sort of get some solution and get out to appease their voters, to appease Congress, to appease the media, to appease all the interest groups. And whereas in North Vietnam, there's only one issue, winning this war and unifying Vietnam. So they'll go on forever. And this is exactly what happens. We make big scores in Cambodia. We have, you know, 2,000 killed or wounded in this operation. And it does a big, as Abrams says, it's a big service to the Arvin in that it sets back the North Vietnamese army because it takes away a lot of their critical supplies. But all this stuff is replenished and they just come on the following year in even greater force, because one thing that how they react to the Cambodian incursion is they just sort of make new supply lines through Laos to compensate for the ones briefly lost in Cambodia. And one other thing is the interesting thing about the Cambodian incursion is that, you know, you mentioned the long hairs, the college protest movement. It really turbocharges the protest movement, because as you mentioned, people have thought, oh, Nixon had a plan to end the war. And now he's widening the war. He's carrying the war from South Vietnam into neutral Cambodia, opening a whole nother front. And that's why you have these like protests at places like Kent State University in Ohio, where four students are shot and killed with live ammunition by National Guard troops. And this triggers a really big outcry in America. But one of the things that's most sort of perverse and interesting about it is that there's as much support for Nixon in this. And if you look at like the reaction to Kent State and shootings at other universities where the guard fired live ammunition at students, like Jackson State in Mississippi, you know, there's a lot of public support. Middle America, Time Magazine makes Middle Americans its Man and Woman of the Year after the Cambodian incursion, because it shows that there's 100 million Americans that still support Nixon and still like loathe this youth movement and this protest movement, and they want to give Nixon time to end this war. And that's when Nixon starts talking about the silent majority. And then one final point on that: there's the hard hat riots in May of 1970.
30 seconds, Jeff. 30 seconds
after the Cambodian incursion, where the hard hats, the sort of the factory workers and the construction workers, turn out in mobs to beat up the anti-war protests that are breaking out in cities around the United States. And there's one most famously in New York City.
Jeff Waro, the Vietnam War, when we come back, Laos, and then Vietnamization.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.